You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Cooligans. It is another sad episode.
Yeah.
We didn't expect to have such a sad one today, but it is that's our reality right now. And obviously, if you are on social media, if you follow us, if you've seen any of the news, if you listen to plenty of MLS broadcasts, Richmond Kickers broadcasts, you have heard the news about Darryl Grove and his passing. Last week, we had mentioned that he was going into hospice care, and the news that we didn't want arrived.
Yeah. And look, when someone goes into hospice, you've kind of start preparing yourself. And, you know, I heard something this weekend. My wife works at a cancer hospital, and she said the toughest part of seeing the families is that the person passes away twice. You know, when you transfer them to hospice, you start to prepare yourself for that person's passing. And even if it's just a tiny glimmer of hope, the wish for a miracle, and then it doesn't happen, there's sometimes a bit of a sense of relief that that person's no longer in pain. But, you know, the passing is the sense and the realization that we don't have complete power. We don't have the ability to change the future. We don't have the ability to make anything happen that we want. You can only hope for the best. And passing of someone that lives in Richmond, Virginia, that we've known for what, max 4 years,
yeah,
right? To for someone to have this level of effect on us has sent me back. It's put me sort of on my ass. It's just made me realize how, if you're just a good person, how you can have such a positive effect for so many people. I mean, Wolves, the club that he followed since he was a child, tweeted.
Yeah.
So many people are banding together. We're planning on doing something with a bunch of other podcasts and broadcasters in his honor. But, you know, and the funniest part of all this, and funny in a sense that it's just a word I use here, it's not actually funny, is that so many people are saying like how wonderful he was and how positive Darryl Grove was and how uplifting he was. And dude, when people die, we say shit like this all the time. Like, oh, they were always a light. We almost never mean it. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that guy's an asshole. Sometimes that lady owes you money. Darryl really was that guy that just brought constant positivity. Even like, he took a sick joy out of watching you and I be kind of rude sometimes, because he's like, I would never do this. Remember, yeah, like he kind of sat back and giggled when we would roast someone. Just like,
look at these Americans being so mean to each other.
And he would be like, oh my God, they're not being nice. And the part that shocks me the most is that I have friends that I've known since I was four or five years old, before I knew English, that if they passed, I mean, it would be bad, but I don't think it would affect me this much, because Darryl was just one of those people that I can look at and tweet at or text at and just be like, you know, ask for advice or just be positive or just be in a uplifting in a way that I don't think many other people are.
That's what I love. I mean, seeing that everybody's has been either posting messages and just their thoughts and sending condolences and stuff like that. People have reached out to us just to make sure, like, if we're doing okay and things like that. And what I love is that, you know, the way he treated us wasn't some anomaly. You know, it's literally every single person has just, like, he made me feel significant, important. He was.
It is an anomaly to how people treat us.
Oh, sure, yeah. But yeah. No, but
not to how he treated people.
Pattern of behavior for him. Yes,
yeah. Very,
look, obviously, our thoughts are, you know, with the Grove family. Shannon,
Shannon.
Darryl's wife, Taylor, his wife. I mean, there's just so many people that he was obviously close to every single day. That this, you know, it breaks our heart, and it hurts us. And I can only imagine how they may feel.
In fact, I'm even looking at something like Gully Squad, which is a group of people who obviously know Total Soccer Show because they're big soccer fans. Many of them either only got a chance to meet Daryl through the Total the World Cup Comedy Tour, or have never met him at all. And the folks that have never met him are saying all the same things we're saying, and we knew him, which just lets you know that, you know, his ability to be positive and to add light where there's darkness spanned across all media. You got it through his podcast. At 5 episodes a week, you're going to know someone's personality, and you got a chance to really know. And I want all of you to know, if you didn't know him, but you listen to him and you kind of get the same idea of what we're saying when we're, you know, sharing stories, trust me, you knew him. You got a chance to know who he was. And I hope, you know, moving forward, I think this is probably going to be more difficult for me than it is for Christian, but I hope that we can all be a little bit like Daryl. You know what I mean? It's probably going to take me a little bit harder, a lot longer to try to be positive where he would always be positive. But I'm trying to think of all those moments and all those, especially the private moments that I shared with him, and I'm going to try to glean some of that and put that into my personality moving forward, because he had too much of a positive impact on me personally and our show and our friendship to not do that, not honor him that way.
And I think I had written this on Twitter, but like he a person like Daryl really never goes away. You know what I mean? Like, he affected too many people that his personality traits are like instilled in all of us. And we will always sort of carry that on, whether it's the way we approach our work, the way we interact with each other, with our loved ones. Like, there's something, anytime you left, you know, an interaction with him, you're like, oh, you know, that there is something you wanted to take away from that, to bring into your own life. Because when it comes, it becomes almost cliche. We keep saying like he was so positive and all this stuff. Like, and it wasn't to say that he didn't have any bad moments where he was angry or sad or anything like that. But it's like he could power through and find a silver lining anywhere. And that is the part that you know, like it inspired me and the trait that I want to kind of like bring and continue to bring to the world. So look, today, we are, you know, kind of foregoing a new episode. We're going to bring back the old episode of when we had Total Soccer Show on the show earlier this year. Daryl,
which they were so excited about. I mean, we're excited because when we first communicated with them, and you know, whether it was before the talks of going on tour, when it was just we were in Philly for the coaches convention, United Soccer Coaches Convention, and they just immediately we clicked and became friends. They didn't have to help us. They didn't have to share best practices, dude. They've walked through that mud already. You know what I mean? They didn't need to tell us, don't go that way, go this way. Here's who these people are. Talk to these people. They didn't have to do any of that. And I want everyone to know, we're all throwing a lot of positivity on Daryl. Taylor is cut from a similar cloth. Taylor didn't have to help us either. And the two of them certainly didn't say, here's what you do or don't do. But if we had any questions, or if we were going down a path that was going to lead to not much, they pulled us aside and said, we've done that before, do this. They didn't have to do any of that. And they absolutely did. And Daryl was the first to offer advice where necessary, especially if you had a question. And to be able to give them the opportunity to give them a first, someone who's been, you know, two people who've been in the business for so long that had yet to have been on TV, and we're like, oh my God, we actually get to make that happen for them. And partially it's due to their credit that they helped us along the way and held our hands when they didn't need to. You know what I mean? So this is for me something that I feel really happy about, that I was like, you know, after this episode, they were kind of like, dude, we were just on TV. Like, that moment was sort of real. And I'm like, I know, right? Because I remember that moment for us. And this is something that I know, and I think this needs to be said, the production staff here sends their condolences to the Grove family and to Taylor and his family. The production staff here immediately clicked with these guys and fell in love with these guys just the same way we did. And some of the sentiments that we're sharing has also been shared on our production calls and stuff. And it's just the fact that they got to meet our family, you know, and this is our family here. It means the world to us, and that our family got to meet them.
Totally. Yeah. The Fubo family sends an incredible amount of love. We're all getting through this together, and it's been challenging. It's helpful to have the support system that we do, because to be honest, we wouldn't be able to do it. It would be so challenging without the support that we do have. So let's look back at Total Soccer Show's time on TV, on Fubo TV. We got to do something really, really cool, and it really felt like this coming together of like of friends, of like of us being able to repay Total Soccer Show for what they've done for us. So everyone, thank you for listening to us, and let's look back at the time when Total Soccer Show was on the Cooligans.
Hello, baby. Let's go. What? Finally. That's all I have to say. Finally.
Finally.
It's happened.
The collab of collabs.
Okay. Long overdue.
Yes.
Like about 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we got a lot of tweets.
Okay.
When is this going to happen?
Hello. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are the Cooligans. Who are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen?
We better be.
Okay.
All right. Well, what other comedians are you watching right now that host a soccer show? Why?
Does Kevin Hart host a soccer show? Yeah, I don't think so.
You see anyone like Dimitri Martin, you know, with an easel trying to do soccer bits?
Yo, I don't even think Dimitri Martin knows what Tam is.
Nah,
bro.
Son. Get up out of here. You ain't no capologist, my dude. We're also the Gully Soccer Show.
Correct.
We found a way to come back by just...
And we're excited about today's show. That's because right. Not only do we have, I mean, soccer experts, soccer geniuses.
That's right, which is us. But we also have these two other people.
Our friends, our dear friends.
Absolutely true. We've been on the road together. We've done multiple collab shows together.
I thought you were going to say drugs.
Yeah, dude. That's right. We're all snoring Adderall before the show. It's not true.
He has to clarify.
Just because I know someone's watching, like, oh, cool. The Cooligan said I could snort Adderall. No, I didn't. You're a stepdad. Stop doing it. Leave for your kids. These are two of our favorite people, the two favorite people in this business that we've met. We absolutely love doing collabs with them. Finally, we got them on TV. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together and do it twice as hard, because it's two of them for Total Soccer Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, guys.
Hello. In unison.
Yeah.
Feels good. Yes, Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove. You guys That's are them. Here in New York.
Daryl's the British one. In case you're wondering,
I think we're gonna know once he says one word. Yeah.
The branding is British and big.
Yeah. Taylor's the one who looks like he's here to pick up his kid from soccer, and also sounds like the kid he's picking up from soccer.
Okay, so
now I'm just not gonna talk.
People who are possibly listening to this already, we've done countless crossover episodes. We've done tours together. We are quite intimate with each other. All right, it's quite a foursome.
That was part of the tour show. You really missed. That was the Amsterdam show.
But for the people possibly watching who do not know who you guys are, you guys are the hosts of Total Soccer Show, which you've been hosting for quite a while.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
And it is probably the most all-encompassing American soccer show I have ever heard. It is.
I'll say this. It's the most iconic American soccer show.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Right.
keep going. I want to hear more about what it is.
Keep going. After the Cooligans.
So what? How did Total Soccer Show begin for some people who may not know who you guys are? And how did you end up here?
What's the origin story?
All right. So we'll do it real fast, right?
Yeah.
So we're based in Richmond, Virginia. There was a public radio station down there. We went and pitched a soccer show.
They said, are you sure there's enough soccer to talk about for 27 minutes a week? Yeah, we said, we'll find a way.
27 minutes?
Yeah, 27 minutes and 30 seconds a week is what they were worried we wouldn't be able to get enough soccer content for. We started putting out as a podcast. Some people started listening. We started sneaking in and doing extra shows. It would be like if you guys came in here when the production crew wasn't here.
Right, right.
And did your
and stole the beers out of the fridge.
Yeah, yeah, we wouldn't come here to work.
Nah. That sounds like a very you problem.
And we just kept adding a day a week, a day a week, a day a week till we were 5 days a week and we could cover like almost everything.
That's insane. That's insane. So when you were doing that, obviously, I imagine you were not making any money, right? But you were doing this 5 days.
I mean, I was, but in a different job.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, you were a man of the night while you were...
You called a prostitute.
That's your second sex worker joke in like 2 minutes.
Have you heard of us?
No, but look, when we were on tour together, we got to like kind of share stories about like either your soccer stories, our comedy stories, and when we were when we started just we did like other comedy podcasts, and we just kind of like made that commitment to do that, knowing that we weren't gonna make any money. We didn't know what would sort of come of it.
It was just like eating up time for us.
And when like we were it was like 1 day a week, but to do it 5 days a week must have been a real belief in what could possibly happen.
Or was it extreme boredom?
Somewhere in between, I'd say, because really it wasn't
a little bit of a Venn diagram there.
I think it was just sort of maybe it was the incentive for me to move back from like Northern Virginia to Richmond was just if you move back and stop living in a terrible place, then we'll go 5 days a week and it'll be fun. And that was pretty much it. It was mostly just sort of like we got a lot of stuff to talk about. When we started off pitching the show, the network we were with asked if we were sure there was going to be enough soccer for one show a week. And now here we are with like 6 and 7 sometimes. So that balances out.
Also, we're not dumb. We didn't start doing 5 days a week with no money, right? It was when a little bit of money came in, then we had a show, but we build and build and build.
Okay.
Yeah. Strategery.
Yeah. You started a soccer show in America and you want to tell us you're not dumb? we've all been there, man. We all see what this is.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask you, like, why do your wives believe in you?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
We're not going to go back to England and take on Luke Moore, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But we're going to stay here and take on you guys.
Yeah, we will, dog. We're coming for your fans, dog.
So but that level of, like, the show is just... The show is just huge now. I mean, it is. You are arguably, and this is like the thing when I first met you guys, and we first met in Philadelphia for the United Soccer Coaches Convention. You guys came to a stand up show.
They put the pressure on us
that we did, right? But I didn't know I didn't really know what you guys looked like, and you guys are like the voices of soccer, but not the faces, right? Like that was like the thing where when we got to do the tour together, a lot of people were like, "Oh, I didn't know what you guys looked like," and this is like, "You guys are cool and you look okay."
People were going up to Christian going, "Daryl?" I'm like, nah, that ain't it.
We actually got a lot of, I thought you were the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We still get that. We still get people emailing to correct us for having it listed wrong on the website.
Yeah. That's hilarious. You're wrong. This whole American thing. I know y'all know each other, but you did it wrong. Yeah.
These people have been watching Face Off. They think we should.
Yeah. Okay. Great movie.
So the fact that did you imagine the show getting this big? Like, you guys are now a part of the Athletic Network.
You're the first podcast on the Athletic, correct?
First American one. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's saying a lot because they hate America. Anyway. We're teasing. Yeah, we love you guys. But the fact that the show got to currently where it is, like, what's next for Total Soccer Show? Are you guys even generally thinking about growth, or is it like, we're good and we can't believe this happened so far?
There's no more days of the week. I mean, how many more episodes can you do? What else is there for you?
I mean, I'm really enjoying just sitting here listening to you all say really nice things about us. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable
at
all.
Segment, yeah. So,
That's fair.
We have been doing a little bit of producing. Mm-hmm. So we've started producing a couple of other shows, like a Major League Soccer show with Joe Lowry, Jordan Angeli. Yeah. Right. Mostly because we don't know as much about Major League Soccer as we do about maybe some European leagues. So we thought we should help someone who'd be good at that, produce another show.
Of course. Okay.
So that's maybe the next thing is to start producing.
I could steal some from the barista downstairs. He really wants him. We are here with Total Soccer Show. You guys Sometimes people say, what's the difference between you and Sasha? No one says that. But the way I like to explain that is like the ratio that we have to jokes to facts, you guys are the opposite, right? Yeah. You guys are very funny, but you do research and stuff, which we don't. I mean, people right. are like, do you even watch the game? And I'm like, what game are we talking about?
the one we're at?
Yeah. Oh, I should turn around? Yeah. Well, maybe the concession line stand needs a shorter line.
I would say based on the like frequency of your storytelling, the best way to explain it would be that we stay and watch the game. And you apparently, as soon as kickoff happens, go straight to the bathroom to see if incidents yeah. occur. That seems to be the way it works.
To be scored, Taylor.
That's what right. does his work.
Okay? I'm sorry that I'm trying to help the team doing what I do best, which is releasing my bowels.
To be serious, I think it's part of why we're friends and why we can work together yeah. is we're not a threat to each other.
Oh, right? Sure.
Like, when we first met, I think that was like immediately we recognized yeah. that. Like, oh yeah, you do one thing and we do another, yeah. but we're both in the same space.
You're not going to rewatch again for tactics, and we're not going to go through Jermaine Jones' Instagram
yeah.
endlessly.
Yeah. So, yeah. You're missing out, yeah. kid.
So that's what you're doing when I'm going through Instagram is watching games. But what do you think? Like, you guys focus a lot more on the nitty gritty, and a lot of what you guys talk about is the men's national team. Mm. How frustrating, first of all, is that? And two, where do you think about where we are now? Some of the tactics seem to be kind of sort of gelling with the team. Just give us a little bit of insight. Give the fans a little bit of insight from people who actually watch the game.
I think a big thing for us, like from the beginning, and a reason why I think Daryl and I work really well together is because we both tend to want to know like what's happening and why. And I think that's what we sort of have tried to do with the show. I feel very pretentious talking about the show like this, so I apologize. But like, I think that is sort of
if
helps
it comforts
us.
You also sound it.
That's good. It does. Thank you.
No problem.
But yeah, I think so. That's kind of how we try to approach it with the national team is less like I'm really mad about this. This is really frustrating, and more like okay, there must be a reason why they're doing it, why he's playing this way, why he's caught up this player, hasn't caught up that player. So I think approaching it from that perspective maybe makes it easier a little bit yeah. to talk about.
And I think that's what the two watches are for, right? The first watch is all emotion and like, oh, is that going to go in? Mm. Oh, I'm so angry that he missed that. And then the second watch is, oh, maybe he missed that shot because he was under pressure from this angle. Or, you know, yeah. I mean? So there's one emotional and one analytical.
And that the second watch already. I mean, yeah. we applaud you both because...
I'm tired. I'm tired thinking about it.
I've already been through such an emotional experience that I don't know if I can watch the game right. again. And that is, for people who do not know, they watch the game over again and again to analyze it. And a lot of time you get a lot of tweets all the time like as soon as the game is happening mm-hmm. people are like, oh boy, I feel bad for Taylor and Dow, they gotta yeah. watch this again.
Yeah, well, you guys first do your quick take hot take, right?
Sometimes
yeah. sometimes yeah, when you get one. A chance. And that's like the immediate reaction to what yeah, just yeah. happened. No data, as I like to call it, the closest thing you get to Cooligans.
We should call it the Alexis game.
Here's us just yelling about something that we're not even sure happened in this game. We may be talking about something happened in another game. But then you rewatch the game and you take notes. And what I would do if Christian and I rewatch the game, we would be doing it to watch who to blame. You guys don't take that tag. Like, here's the guy who should get dropped from the club. You don't do that.
We call it the Jermaine Jones angle.
Yeah. With all due respect, is the name of that episode.
You really are you really are George Costanza's father, huh? It's just I got a lot of problems with you people. I'm gonna find one of you and now you're gonna hear about it.
I would love it. Just, was it Jerry Stiller, right?
There you go.
Shout out to Jerry Stiller. When you rewatch it, how hard is it to sort of remove yourself and to try to be more tactical? And you guys, I know you play, have you guys coached before? Because it seems like that's sort of you guys take the tactic of like, if these were the lads,
yeah.
to use your phrasing, that I'm coaching, here's what I would come back with. Here's where we messed up. You have that kind of approach.
Yeah, well, I mean, Taylor's got a coaching license and we both coach in an adult team for
street
soccer. Yeah, I
can get a fake coaching license too. This isn't, right, we're not bragging here. Okay?
He has a real coaching license and I'm very good at laying out cones.
Yeah, cool. Well, is that sort of the tactic that you guys try though? You guys be like... Because the fans seem to appreciate that. Like, it seems like you guys kind of quell the anger the fans have sometimes.
I think Daryl's really good at that. I tend to be like the more emotional of the two. And I am the one who was probably in the past like, nah, we can watch it once. That's fine. I think Daryl has the dedication to like making sure we actually have like watched it and have opinions on it. So I think I tend to initially, maybe in the hot take ones, be a bit more emotional, a bit more reactionary. You tend to be a bit more level-headed, unless maybe England is involved, and even then you're usually pretty calm.
Yeah, I guess I have more free time, I guess. Yeah.
do you think
that's all it is?
Right. She got somewhere else to be. I'm like, yeah, let's watch it again.
I guess I have nowhere else to go, so we'll watch this a third time, you know. Where do you think the men's national team is headed? Are you confident as they sort of get closer to World Cup qualifying?
I want and before you answer that, I want to just make sure, like, some of the two matches coming up against the Netherlands and against Wales, and the last match was against Costa Rica in a friendly. And the interesting thing was, we were just in Costa Rica, and I loved a moment. We were talking to one of the waiters at a restaurant, and we mentioned we're American and stuff, and he was like, "Oh yeah, remember we beat you guys in the World Cup qualifier in New Jersey?" I'm like, yeah, man, I remember.
We were there, dude.
So
it was Chris Farley show style. He just kept making it worse. Like, remember that? It was cool, right? That was
one of the things I appreciate about you guys is you guys have genuinely made me care more about the men's national team in the level of attention that you pay, you know, that you focus on it.
So, like, it took a British guy to make you more American.
That's what I'm saying. He invaded my mind.
Yeah. Walked in with a red coat into my brain, dude.
But even talking about the men's national team, why was that such a big focus? I can, at least for Taylor, I can say him being American, I can understand why, like, there's a natural sort of connection.
Yeah.
But Daryl, I would argue you know more about the U.S. men's national team than most people on this planet. So how did it make you care so much about it?
Yeah, actually, I don't have a fun answer, but the real answer is when I moved here in 2005 to marry my wife, she was kind of the only person I knew to begin with.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't really have a connection to the U.S., but I had a connection to soccer, right? So I started watching the U.S. men's national team, right? So that became like my first little bit of patriotism, you know what I mean, was the U.S. men's national team.
You just get a red hat and just, I mean.
Well, that's the alternative, right?
Yeah.
Be glad I chose this one.
Yeah, please. Please don't. Please don't do the other one.
I owned a red hat, not that type of red hat. Yeah, red hat is gone now.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing that in public.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
How long did it take before you started calling it soccer?
Not long.
Really?
Like, I really believe in the idea that, you and I have talked about how, like, British people can be very, like, this is the way it is.
Yeah, of course. Kind of thing.
But also, if you're in a foreign country, and I know we share the same language,
right.
But if you're in a foreign country, you use the words that people use, right? You go to Italy, you say calcio.
Do you go back? When you go back to England, do you say soccer
stuff? Do you say calcio?
I mean, I haven't been to Italy in a long time. There we go.
Oh, wow, we're just bragging that we've been to Italy.
When I go back,
do you say soccer?
Yeah, when I go back, I slip sometimes, and I'll get like a nudge or
It's like your friend comes back from Barcelona, and they're like, "I was in Barcelona." You're like, "You don't have to. We get it." Or they're like, "Namaste. I was in India." No, I'm like, "Don't do it."
But it's not in that pretentious kind of way. It's more in like, I just accidentally said that because that's what I'm used to saying.
Are you like super loud when you go there, like American as hell, just kicking stuff over? Why is this beer warm?
Refill my soda.
Yeah. Why isn't this cup larger for this free refill? I'm not getting diabetes. Why? Daryl, you have it already. Jesus. Isn't that messed up? You have it and I don't. Why do you people believe in God?
Daryl, who's the first American?
Who's the first American that you remember watching? Was it Harks?
Yeah, way back in the 90s, John Harks.
And John Harks, who also hates us.
Because we called a penalty on the other team at a charity match.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't deny he's a competitive individual.
That is for sure, because he still hates us.
All your idols hate us. Yeah.
Welcome to America. We'll be back right after this with more with Total Soccer Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Alexis, why are you talking?
Because I want to, dude.
We're doing a TV show. I don't remember.
Is that what these cameras are about? Get out of my living room.
Welcome back. We are here. We're still here with Total Soccer Show, Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove.
That's right, baby.
I wanted to talk to you guys and Daryl in particular about the last couple months, the last year or so, have been pretty intense, pretty scary. I know for you, for us, for your family and friends. Yeah. He said fans before family, which shows where Alexis is.
That's his hierarchy.
That's my hierarchy. Are the sandwiches scared? No, but they call my mother.
Yeah. Daryl, you had a...
You want to talk about cancer, right?
I want to talk about cancer. You had a cancer.
Wow, shifted from first to fifth gear.
Boom. I don't know how to drive manual, so I'm a little scared right now. No, you had a cancer diagnosis over a year ago.
Yeah, January 2019. Yeah.
And obviously, we were all incredibly shocked. I mean, this was a few months after we ended our tour.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what was going on. And now we see things. You genuinely look better. Everything is just in a much more optimistic place. But one thing I wanted to point out was really the soccer community.
Yeah.
Came together in a way I've really never seen.
Yeah.
And really donated to the GoFundMe and helped support. So like, how do you feel? How did you feel about that? And what is your life look like now?
Yeah. Okay. So the last year, genuinely, you would think it's been the worst, but it's been this weird like mix of the best and the worst. And like one of the reasons why it's like the could be the best or is it like has been a good year is that the response of the soccer community and the way sort of everybody helped fundraise and like, cause I even like have insurance, but you still need money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? We won't get into the reasons for that.
Right? Country sucks.
That'd be a whole lot, right? Cause America's the best. We allow you to spend your own money.
Kind of.
You're welcome.
But when you get a diagnosis like that, obviously it's a big downer and you can be feeling like, oh no, what's going to happen? But then you get like a really good lift from the response of the soccer community, which was basically everybody, basically just well wishes, which are genuinely, you know, nice to receive. And then the fundraising made me less concerned about like how we're going to handle this kind of thing. And then third, it convinced my parents that the Total Soccer Show was a real thing.
There you go. Which is important because my mother's still like, I don't like what you do.
Yeah.
Go become a bus driver.
It took you having cancer for your parents to be proud of you.
It was kind of, but it was the response of like, even on the GoFundMe, there'd be people who were like, hey, I listened to the show. And
I saw it too. I mean, it's difficult to, it was, you know, easy to get emotional about all of that because it really shows like and we were talking about LAFC bringing orphans to a soccer game before like the there's something about the soccer community and then the American soccer community also maybe because it's more like niche people feel more protective of it there were so many people that were like you know he's one of our own like we have to do everything we can for
the American
and it was people that we know and love like you guys it was people who we don't really know like your friends the Men in Blazers like we've never met those guys but they helped share it and promote it
I believe
right?
they are so, good friends of the program
but to your point it's like the whole soccer community even when you're not like actually connected because we don't know the Men in Blazers but they still helped share
but like I think one of the things that surprised me the most is you didn't set up the GoFundMe right
no it was I just would have felt weird asking right but I'm very lucky that a good friend of mine she set it up and she's a copywriter so she like
it was well written but it was one of those things that I remember like talking to you and you were like I would have never set that up I'm not the kind of person and I was like I'll set one up for myself for now I'm for vacation you know you're the kind of person who wouldn't even do it when you have cancer so seeing how sort of someone had to set that up for you and then seeing how people reacted to it and how many people came out and just wanted to help and posted messages and retweeted it and tweeted it on their own. When you see that, it sort of gave us like the idea that like, okay, soccer has a larger reach than sometimes we can imagine it when we're doing the shows like this. Sometimes you think like, oh, it's small and niche and whatever. You can see how big and how big it got. Do you want to sort of just, are you able to update the fans a little bit on how you're feeling?
Yeah. So I've been doing little updates on the show. You've obviously not been listening.
What's the name of the show you guys are
doing? I refuse.
Yeah. United States of Soccer.
So, it's behind a paywall.
So initially surgery, remove the primary tumor, chemotherapy to attack the tumors that had spread. That worked for a little bit. Then it stopped working. We did the live show in the middle of that, right? When I was the Daryl Skinny live show. I was fitting in some shirts.
Right. Where Quincy Ameriquois was poking at you. And we're like, please stop.
Right in the tumor. Yeah.
He poked you in the tumor. The kid can't hit a goal, but he can hit that. What's going on?
So then that stopped working. And then my doctor was like, hey, let's just try like a clinical trial. We'll find you one. And that sounds like a gamble, right? But they found me this thing in Boston that was really specifically targeted at a genetic mutation I've got. And so far, knock on wood, it's been working for like 2 or 3 months. It's been working.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, like when you hear clinical trial, I mean, when you mentioned that, it's just like, man, it's like, oh, is there nothing? You know, it sounds like that's like a last resort.
It is. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And then to see you improve and just get better and to your credit, And obviously we're not around you all the time, but every time I was
every 2 months an intense few days.
But every time we were together, you were still incredibly optimistic and positive,
so positive.
And that it made me uncomfortable. Like I want to be sad more.
Yeah. And let me go through these emotions.
just to clarify, that's not just a you all thing. Like that's been from the beginning. Like there's never been a like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like struggling. I don't feel up to it. That's never been a thing with Daryl. It's always been very positive. It's always been very like, no, I want to get it done. It's pretty inspirational. It's pretty amazing to be around a person who never gets angry about it. Never seems to have that like, woe is me. This isn't fair. It's just like, you're very rational. It's just like, it's a situation. I'm dealing with it. Let's do the show.
Yeah. We rewatched the cancer.
Yeah. that's where it regrew. One more time. Let's do this one more time.
Yeah. I have been pretty mad at your immune system. That more so your immune system than Greg Berhalter. Yeah. It's where I am with that one. Like, come on, you got to mark that better. You
I can't remember let that tumor grow. In DC, I pulled Taylor's out. I'm like, this whole positive thing is bullshit. Like this guy's. And he's like, no, this how he is. I'm like, oh, you won't even tell me. Like it's something that honestly it's been inspirational to watch, and mm-hmm. it's been beautiful, and yeah, keep it going, keep all being right. positive. Okay. I don't know that you need me to say that, but go ahead and do it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, up the Grove. All right, we'll be back for
there's
more.
Only one. No, go. One of the things when we get together, we do special episodes, right? And one of the big things we do is we take listener questions. Now it's watcher questions, right? Which sounds weird. Sounds
like I think it's viewer.
Viewer questions. Yeah.
I like watcher questions. Leave me alone. Sounds like we're behind you.
Sounds
like,
very voyeuristic.
Yeah. I could see you. So we got a couple questions. You guys ready for this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask a couple questions. I think we'll all get to answer. It'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah, it will.
All right. So you want to do the first one?
Oh, okay, sure. First question comes from Reverend Joel L. Tolbert.
He's a real reverend, though?
I looks like it. He's holding a book. I don't know what's in the book.
Holding a book? You must be a religious man.
It's Harry Potter? Wow. Praise you, sir.
What, because you own a white scarf? So, wow, you think special dog?
No, Reverend Joel L. Tolbert, he says, three things to immediately fix VAR in the Premier League. Go for it.
Ooh, I got three.
Shut down all media. Yeah. Stop everybody complaining in the newspapers and websites.
So you're taking the dictatorial approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
So King Daryl says. So far, no more media?
Just no more complaining. Everybody stop complaining. Okay. It'll be fine.
All right, I got one. Go look at the screen, ref. Yep.
Yeah, they finally started. I think that they've done it one or two times this Premier League season where they're finally going to look at the screen. So I think there's going to be improvements. Obviously, the first thing, get rid of the offside line machine. It is pointless and useless.
Oh, the red line, blue line.
Yeah, what a waste of time. Like, let it be, if it's like a guess, if you have to guess, it's a goal. That's my opinion. For real.
So you want to give leverage to the offensive player.
Yeah, I want
to
see goals.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Make the goals bigger. That's how you fix VAR.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the goals. They just don't count.
Oh, sure. Yeah, which is just as fine.
Wow, semantics as if your people invented this language. Just here.
That's why when I go to the park, I just throw the ball in the net and I lose my mind.
Rips his shirt off. Get the kids out of the park. He's back.
But Alexis, to your point, like we were all in Germany. We were at the Bayern Munich game with Frankfurt when I forget who got sent off. Was it Boateng who got sent off?
Boateng. Yeah.
But like that whole process, like referee went to the sideline, looked at the screen, didn't mess around with the players, didn't stay and chat with them, and then went back, gave the red card, play resumed. It didn't take long. So I think that's a big one. I think to Daryl's point, like if there's better conversation about it and like it kind of ends up getting talked about, but like Daryl won't talk about it, I think, because it's like, yeah, like the line thing is frustrating, but it's the way the law is. It's being correctly utilized. It's just sort of, if we flip it back, then there's going to be that conversation about like, well, he was offside, that goal shouldn't stand. And so it's always going to be a frustrating scenario. So I think if the dialogue is better and maybe the explanations are more concise, I feel like the FA is starting to panic a little bit, or whoever it was this week who like released an apology before they were supposed to, like that feels a bit like you're sort of playing into the media narrative now and making it even more confusing in trying to make it more simplistic.
Even like the Lo Celso thing where they're like, yeah. Oh, it should have mm-hmm. been, I'm sorry. That's during the game.
Yeah.
They apologize for getting that call wrong. It should have been a red card. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's not great. It's not a good look. It's, see, Daryl's being quiet again. Yeah. He's got nothing to say.
I was thinking if we do ban all media, then there's a hole that we could fill.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now we just got to start to become media.
Okay, next up, we got a question from Bug Eaters FC. And coincidentally,
what a magic trick.
I pulled this out of the bag before we started because you had your jerseys on.
We got a Bug Eaters scarf in the house. Bug Eaters FC. Asks, has television given soccer cooligans egos? Hashtag Gully.
I mean, you can't give something that's already there.
That's right.
It's like, I'm assuming this is the owner, Jonathan.
Yes.
He kind of set me up for that one.
Yeah. I'll be totally honest in this question. Christian, no. Alexis, there was
absolutely not.
Okay. That's what you're gonna say. Definitely a like 5 minute period when we were in Germany where three different times I heard you say, like, and I got a TV show. And I was like,
you must have not been paying attention the rest of the time. Because I was saying it forever.
See, this is the kind of analytical taste you can get from watching the soccer show.
Well, they rewatched our friendship and they mapped out whose fault it is. Turns out it's mine.
The cool thing is, we could rewatch it on TV.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can, because we're on TV.
Okay,
so now is when we get you out of the studio for saying something disrespectful.
So next up, we have a question from Brian Hansen. He says, if you four were to watch a classic U.S. men's or women's national team game, Mystery Science Theater 3000 style, which game would you watch?
Also, thanks for pitching a wonderful idea for a television show.
So Mystery Science Theater 3000, does it have to be like a bad movie? And does that mean we have to watch a bad game? Or can it be a good movie and a good
game?
You'd
want it to be something that has like a lot of stuff happening in it, right? So you could talk about it.
Okay.
But one that deserves to be talked about. One that has a lot of stuff happening in it.
I mean, I think I'll take the easy answer here. We also do a podcast called Soccer 101 where we like explain basic terms or basic players, like how they got to be so good or whatever.
Plug whatever you want. Dude.
And but one of the ones we're going to be doing, I think, in the upcoming season is the 2002 quarterfinal game against Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
USA Mexico in the World Cup, where USA wins 2-0. Rafa Marquez gets a red card for trying to murder Kobe Jones at the end of the game. I feel like that's got a lot of incidents and a lot of drama behind
it. Start of
it's usually
Center.
Murder is frowned upon in soccer.
For some reason, not allowed. Okay.
When I saw this question, which is a great question, my first one that came to mind was the U.S. Algeria.
The Landon Donovan
goal. Yeah, I mean,
see, for me, it would be U.S. Portugal, where Zusi took like too long to come off, and that gave Portugal a chance to tie it up. 2-2.
Oh, you're talking about in 2014.
That game, I would love to sort of break down because it was like we might be Portugal.
Right. Yeah, we were so close.
Yeah, it's either that or the women's game against France in this last World Cup.
Okay. I would say the 99 game, the final.
I feel like it needs incidents though, right? Like maybe Maradona 86 against England. It's got that like maybe best goal of all
classic
time.
US
and it's
women's.
Got the handball. Oh, sorry.
It's right
there's
in front
a lot of
you.
There's a lot of epic soccer.
Look at you making it about England all the time.
No, but I think to your point though, if we're going Mystery Science Theater, I think the USA Thailand game for the last Women's World Cup.
Oh yeah,
probably be one where there's so many goals and so many ridiculous moments.
A lot of fodder.
That might be the first one where we get up and go to the concession theater during the game.
Okay,
that is not the first time you've done that in a game.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I poop.
So this question came from Shaguna at Soy Shagu.
Shout out to Shaguna, by the way.
Which golden girl are y'all?
And so, she's from Houston, which explains the y'all.
Okay.
I forget that's not ubiquitous until I come to New York and I say y'all and I get the looks of like...
People stare at you.
You're not from here. I'm like, all right, y'all.
Yeah, could you get out of the way, buckaroo? I'm trying to get on the train. four of us, right?
So, okay, I don't remember the name. I mean, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Blanche.
Yeah.
No,
it's not...
Estelle
Sophia.
Sophia was the old lady.
The high quality research. We come to expect.
Who's Betty White? Rose.
And Rose. Okay.
I'm either the really old lady or Betty White, right? Like, I'm either Rose.
I want to.
She's kind of dumb, so I feel like that's me. But then the other old lady's got a lot of attitude, which is also me.
Rose is also kind of accidentally offensive a lot.
Yeah,
right.
That's Christian.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's more
is
me.
Is that you're going with?
I'm a Betty White for sure.
No.
Yeah, Rose is like, she was clever and it's a little snide, but like innocent.
No, she was kind of dumb. That's me.
No, Rose, was she dumb?
Yes, Rose was hideously dumb.
Who was, no, oh, and then hideously Blanche was dumb. The horny one.
Yes. Blanche was the wild one, right? We all know that's Daryl. I guess that makes you.
I get the whoever's
Bay. What's her name? B. Arthur.
Yeah.
I'm Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Have you guys seen the show?
Yeah.
I have not. So I'm just kind of going with what y'all say.
I watched it as Lo Mujeres Que Son Oro. It's a little different.
I want to be the horny one. Anyway.
I'm the dumb one. Whatever. We got one more question. I know we were asking our questions before. I like this one. Better U.S. men's national team coach between three guys who aren't men's national team coach, but I guess if they were, Nagelsmann, Klopp, and Pochettino, who would you rather have as the men's national team coach. I just want it on record as I'm okay with Greg Berhalter, if you're watching, okay?
Please do the show. Yeah,
Jersey. That's what I heard.
Because Jersey always looks out for Jersey. All right? But anyway.
Is he from Jersey? I didn't know that. You don't talk about that every time.
Yeah, I never bring it up. Trust my guy.
I would go Nagelsmann on that one, I think. Those are the three options. Just because Klopp and Pochettino, I feel like they have systems that require everybody to like buy into them.
Be good at soccer.
Yeah, that's a big one. And then like it requires a lot of training, and I don't know if you can do that with a national team. Nagelsmann seems really flexible and does different formations based on the opponent and tries different stuff and is also a child. So I think I would enjoy seeing a child.
He's 32, right? He's younger than everybody.
Yeah. Well, how old is he?
32.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 22. Okay. I look terrible.
Cast me in Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah.
I did think when we first met I thought you were both younger than me because I think I'm the youngest of the four of us.
No, we're immature. We're Canadians.
Well, you are. Christian just looks young. Yeah,
that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, is that what it is? I don't know. When I see a look in the mirror, we both look the same.
I think you look phenomenal.
I think I would say Klopp. And here's the reason why. I've been saying for the longest that I think the men's national team is primed for a pressing style system because we're athletic more than we are good at soccer.
Yeah, Nagelsmann would bring that too, though, right? And would be cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who cares about money, bro? They got it. Yeah. They're not paying the women, right? So what's the difference? They got it. They got it sitting right there. We'll take it out of the woman's account.
Well, an actual thing that they might have said.
100%.
It is like a shared bank account.
You know, Chuck Blazer yelled at one point as he rolled by his rascal scooter on the way to his cat's apartment. Like, but
I think it's a fair point. Like
how he just walks over.
Is Jurgen Klopp that great of a manager because of the roster he has or because of his coaching style? Or is it a combination of both? Can a world, like just epic manager, go into almost any team relatively and drastically improve them?
So the other thing you always hear about Klopp, right? Taylor and I were always into the tactics, right? But the other thing you always hear about Klopp is that his players would run through brick walls for him, right? Yeah. Like genuine real brick walls like this one here, right? His players would run through brick walls
100% brick. For him.
Good by the way. Production, well done.
I would love to just see a US national team inspired in that way, right? Yeah. And imagine, like, you know, we go to the press conferences sometimes for national team games.
When we're allowed.
Yeah, imagine like, all his big toothy grin, that whole thing. Yeah, like, Klopp would bring a real personality to the men's national team.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's allowed.
But Pochettino is available, so there's that.
Klopp seems like the type who would be like, you could hear him screaming from the locker room and then would just walk in and be like, how are we doing? Everybody good? Yeah, like, that's not what I heard before.
I don't want to do this. Well, again, I'm really happy to be here, guys.
Well, we were talking about Nagelsmann from Dortmund. And Gio Reyna has been somebody that came up recently because obviously he's playing well. It's just give the ball to Haaland and everything's working out, right?
Yeah. He knows the job.
But he can score on his own. Great curler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he got in the German Cup. So now the rumor is that it's possible that he has been capped with the U.S. men's national team. There's matches coming up. It seems like that should be the right move and sort that out as soon as possible. But now, because he is Claudio Reyna's son, also born in Sunderland, has, I believe...
There's no birthright in England, though, right?
I actually don't know the situation, but I know that right now he doesn't have a UK passport.
Okay.
They tried to give him one after Brexit, and he was like,
I think you have to have been eligible for the passport before you were 18, I think, in order to file a one-time switch, which I think you would have to do because he's played for the US at an official youth tournament.
I actually think if England wanted to do this, they would have to really, like, get FIFA to do sort of the thing that MLS does for LA Galaxy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
They'd
have to find some loopholes and, like Bill Maher, new rules. But I think the important thing with this story is it was reported. I've read the story, right? Yeah. It was on The Athletic.
The research. We read a tweet, Daryl.
Exactly, right? So it's written by David Ornstein. It was essentially, he was just making note of the fact that the FA, the English FA, has this list of like possible England internationals that they're tracking.
And
Gio Reyna's, it's literally thousands, and Gio Reyna's name is on it, and it's on a short list of players who've been impressing, and they might look into the citizenship situation, right?
Okay.
But even half of that headline enters the American soccer Twitter sphere, and we all freak out because Giuseppe Rossi hurt us.
Jonathan Gonzalez. I mean, there's been a bunch.
We've been burned.
It's very sensitive. Like, you don't. It's like as soon as the partial title comes up, but it's like, please.
Yeah.
Why hurt us? We have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did love Brian Schiaretta. Like, somebody tweeted, like, both of his parents like represented the United States. Like, he's definitely going to choose the U.S. And Brian Schiaretta was like, I hear that point, But to like stoke the drama a little bit, we do have a player who currently plays for the national team whose father played for another country and is now the president of that country in the form of Tim Weah. So like, you never know, but you do know he's playing for the United States.
Oh, but I said this to you last night, right? Like the difference between England and USA, like in soccer, is this. But then the difference between, say, USA and Liberia is like, you know, Liberia not good at soccer, right? Okay, so it wasn't like it wasn't a tough choice.
They've got other things to worry about besides soccer in Liberia for sure. You know, if you're the president, you're like, let's not focus on who's playing the national team right now.
And then I think McBride came out and said today, like I'm not like he's going to Europe right now to talk to a couple different players. He's not talking to Reyna, but like expects to hear more about him from us like very soon, which implies he's going to get called up in March.
It was like, we're excited about him and you'll see soon.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So he could be in the national team for the March friendlies, like Wales and Netherlands.
Gonna get crushed by the Netherlands and then he's going to be like, you know what, England? Actually.
During the game, you see him pick up his phone.
Don't put me in.
Yeah. Right?
But there's also the Olympic qualifiers for which he's eligible, right? So if Dortmund let him go, he could be playing for the U23s and could get us qualified for the Olympics, finally.
Let's go.
All right.
Gio Reyna for president.
We'll be back.
Of England.
Doing more. Right after this, guys.
Hello and welcome back, baby.
Hey, all right.
Okay.
To the Total Soccer Show Takeover.
We're going to cut this part out.
They came in here and ripped up my contract. How dare they?
All these microphones are belong to us.
Yeah, you guys were just really nice to us in the opening segment, so we wanted to repay the favor and say some nice things about you. You guys are fine. So we do have...
That's the nicest thing that's ever been said about us.
We do have a bit of like a trivia game for you all. But
so for the people who are watching or listening, this is something you guys do on your show.
No, not this one. This is the new one.
Sometimes, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I should yes and you. Yes and not really.
during our live shows, this was incorporated a lot. We did, we would do games with audience members or guests and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. it was mostly because the two of them are very, very funny and have good bits and good sets. And then the two of us were like, everyone just like comics. And then these guys. And then comics again. So we had to figure out some sort of thing to do.
So this is like the filler between Cooligan's stand-up sets.
Yeah, basically.
Perfect.
When we went back, splashed our face with water.
I do have one question for y'all, which I'm guessing probably gets asked routinely. How did you decide who gets the chair and who's on the couch?
Fubo decided.
Yeah, okay. They put the fat guy on the couch.
They needed more support.
And Andy Richter?
Yeah.
Follow the formula? All right. So we had a listener question a while ago. If you all listen, then this is going to be a very simple game. It just feels like a thing that you all could sort of riff on very well.
Okay.
It came from Matt Koss, who said, I remember reading about how Mario Balotelli had a behavior clause and a per goal money bonus in his Liverpool contract. What are some other strangely or specifically written soccer contracts? So we have a few players who had very strained contracts. I'm going to give you the question and you can tell me what you think the clause was. So Stefan Schwartz, when he signed for Sunderland in 1999, was prohibited from traveling where? More specifically, he was prohibited from leaving what?
Oh, the player hotel.
All right, so Alexis is saying the player hotel.
He was.
What about for games?
Well, I mean, unless so, I guess it's then the country.
All right, so Alexis has gone with a serious answer, Christian. If I were to give you the hint that this is not a serious answer,
he was obviously prohibited from leaving where?
Mm-hmm.
I guess his home. Like, was he like on house arrest?
I'm assuming the country of England.
So can I give the answer?
You can give the
just
answer.
So I have a role here. Mm-hmm. He was not allowed to leave the planet Earth. Because he had expressed an interest in signing up for
his agent had booked a seat.
Yeah, like a space travel service.
And they were worried that he was going to leave. Yeah. So keep that in mind as I ask you this one.
Okay,
how else are we supposed to prove the world's flat?
A Neymar one. Which of these did Neymar have in his Barcelona contract? A clause that allowed his friends from Brazil to visit every 2 months with Barcelona paying for all expenses, or another clause, a different clause, guaranteeing him £2 million if he did not dispute the coach's choice regarding his position on the field?
Oh, which one of those is real?
Mm-hmm.
Arguing his choice on the field or his homies? I feel like knowing Neymar, it's the homies one is the real one.
The homies have to. That feels more real. It feels like is he that?
You want me to sign? You got to get my mans in now up here. Once every 2 months?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll just go. I'll pick the opposite just so one of us will be right.
I'm saying the homies.
The coach.
You've met Taylor before. It was both.
It was both.
You're both correct.
You got us. You tricky buckaroo.
What?
Maybe a slightly easier, more obvious one. When Luis Suarez signed for Barcelona good with the contracts.
He bit the contract.
Yeah. That's
That's his signature.
Barcelona inserted a clause that prohibited what action, which would be met with harsh punishments and financial penalties.
Biting, then.
Correct. Yeah. He has a no-biting clause in his nibble. Barcelona
nibble.
Yeah, we'll do... Charagarua. How much time do we have?
We have about 2 more minutes. Go
All right, we'll do two. We'll just do one, because there's only one more really good one. Giuseppe Reyna, when he signed for Armenia Bielefeld in 1996, he signed a 3-year contract. He inserted a clause into his contract requiring the club to build him a house for every year he was under contract at the club. The club honored this agreement, so to speak, but not in the way he intended. What did the club do?
They built tiny little houses every year. That's my
guess. You are correct.
Yeah. Is that true?
Out of Lego. Yeah.
He did not. That's how I would handle it.
Yo, you think you slick, my guy? Is this a school for ants?
You know, it's like the little, like Kim Kardashian got her daughter a little house, and like a dream house, but yeah. She could, like, you know, after she's a toddler,
it's got like a second floor in it and all.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's like, I would build those. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, it's not as insulting as Legos, but it's like, hey, your kids or your dog can have a good time in this little
you think he was upset, or he was like, you guys are good. You guys are good.
I was initially like tiny houses, like Tiny House Hunters or whatever.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
no, that would, Legos is
they
better.
Went even smaller.
Legos while they're shreffle. He's like, can the next one be red at least?
Yeah. All right, yeah. We did it again.
Come on.
Crushed it with Total Soccer Show. What a collab, finally on television.
Normally it's just us two, but look how good we are carrying them as well. I mean,
my back hurts a little bit.
It's true.
Isn't it great?
No, we were talking during the break. Apparently this is the first time Taylor and Daryl have done television.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, and we want to cut. What? I'm not sure. No, it's been an honor to have you guys on.
It's been an honor to be here.
Yeah, best friends in the business, you know?
Really? I like the coffee that's
at the end. No, they're outside. Get out.
Yeah. John Strong's coming.
John Strong is here.
So, guys, let people know what they should look out for. Any projects or anything you guys got coming up?
There's the show, the Total Soccer Show, which is available on all good podcast players. We also have, Taylor mentioned it earlier, right?
And the bad ones.
And the bad ones too. Soccer 101, which is our sort of guide to soccer.
Which is great. I love that show.
And then we've been dabbling in a little bit of producing. The actual producers would maybe laugh at what we're doing, but we're producing. We've got a show called MLS Assist, which is an assist with MLS Tactics.
Right. Nice.
If you want to hear about MLS Tactics, it's Joe Lowry, Jordan Angeli. Mm-hmm. And we're also working with Paul Tenorio and Sam Stagegirl on Allocation Disorder.
Another great show. Yeah.
It's all great.
So make sure you tune in, guys. So as we end the show all the time, so for Taylor Rockwell, for Daryl Grove, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alex Guerreros. And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!